Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. That's our new theme song. I hope you like it, because I do.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christine. Marie, my mama, other a.k.a. mama.
You're my daughter?
Yeah. A.k.a. bitch.
Already?
No.
Already with the language?
No, already.
Five-letter words.
Exactly. So, hey, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. My mom's a psychotherapist, a coach, an awesome woman, an author. I'm a teacher getting my master's. I'm also
an awesome woman.
I'm also a coach. Thank you for saying awesome woman. Yes. And, you know, here we are on our Sunday night show. And what our Sunday night show is all about is sort of just kind of like free-floating talk. You know, we pull the nuggets out of life to see what we can learn from them. But mostly it's about having a good time. There is, through the course of the week, we are bombarded with negative thoughts, negative talk. And sometimes you just want to let it all go. And a lot of times I feel it's my job to pull out the insanity of life.
Yes.
Like, it's just insane. And so knowing those rules, you go, hey, you know what? Life's short, have fun. All right. Life's short, have fun. And be glad, you know,
that's
be happy.
Right. Be happy.
Life short, be happy. And so, but here we are. We've got a good show for you today.
I always love that when you predict that.
I'm prophesizing.
You are.
And I'm setting my intention. You know, one thing in coaching that you talk about is it's always about setting your intention.
Right.
And then at least you know you have a general idea of where you want to go.
You got a direction you want to go.
Yeah. And I intend this will be a great show and that the people out there are going to enjoy it, have some fun with it. I remember one person said, do you guys write out everything you're going to say? Because you just nonstop talk for like 55 minutes. And the answer is no, we do not write everything we're going to say because that would be horrible.
Well, you know, it's so funny because like years ago, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, maybe seven or eight.
A long time.
And we used to like try to write some stuff out, but it never worked.
It never was fun for us.
Well, it never was fun, but it never worked because
we
would, you know,
get off the subject.
Yeah.
Well, because you know where you're heading. And then when we did,
you know, like stick to the plan.
Right.
It just sounded, at least to me, sounded stilted. Like,
right.
And now we talk NPR.
Yes.
And now we're going to talk about the news of the week.
The news of the week.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And you can get that anywhere. But you can't get us anywhere.
You can't get us, the girlfriends.
A mother-daughter team.
That's right.
And that's what we want. We want you to feel like you're part of the family, part of the girlfriends, because, you know, it's kind of a hard life out there sometimes.
You bet.
For 55 minutes a week, you can put the podcast on, or an hour, depending on how long we talk.
And I like the guys who come up to me and go, you know, I'm a girlfriend. And I go, yay, I know you are.
That's right. That's right.
Because guys can be girlfriends too.
For sure, for sure. And so we're going to talk about today a little bit about when you have dreams, desires, goals that in no way match your present moment. I mean, mm-hmm. You have to be somebody different to achieve these goals. And that's not a problem. It just means that you have to really work on, we talk about be, do, have parameters. You know, you have to be the person you want to be, then do the things you need to do to have the things that you
want
to have.
Yeah, most people just want this, the opposite.
If I have this, I'll start doing those things and then I will be that person. No, 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 no.
It doesn't usually work that way.
No. In some ways, you got to think of your life as getting your master's degree, you know?
Yes.
And then when you graduate, you're like, oh my gosh, look what I have here. I'm all trained. Whoa, I'm a different person. They gave me a different title. Yay.
You sound like the pizza man right now.
I do that quite frequently.
Yes.
What was his name? Aziz
Ansara.
Well, anyway, he was number 49 on Bill.
He was?
Yes, on top 50.
I did not know that.
So it was Rolling Stone's top 50 stand-up comedians.
Uh-huh.
And I took a list, and he was number 49.
I can't believe it. But he's hysterical.
He's hysterical, and he was so good in Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
When he allows his voice to go this octave up.
Yes.
And you can tell he's done voiceover work.
I
mean, he's got a voice perfect for cartoons.
Isn't he in Frozen or something like that?
I don't know. Or Burgers or something Burgers or I don't know. But yes, I think he does cartoons.
Right.
I can't remember which one.
But like he would be, that's the voice.
That's the
voice. But he did a skit on SNL And he was like a pizza band. They were in a pizza band.
Yeah.
And like a little, see, I don't know, not a Little Caesars, but like
well,
a,
yeah, like more like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
And so it's there's a cop thing going down. There's a criminal inside, and two cops rush in. And one of the cops hits the fuse box, turn the lights on, which then activates this, you know, animatronic skit.
Yes.
And it's just, I want a pizza pie. Oh, wait, want a pizza pizza. I want a pizza pie. I want a pizza 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 pie.
And it was hysterical.
It was hysterical. It was such a catchy little tune. And and it's been like, God, a month already, I think.
Easy.
And it feels like yesterday that I've heard the skit.
Yeah.
Because it just, in my head, I hear it everywhere.
Yes.
You know, they say that your brain is wired to see faces everywhere. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you see a car, oh, that car's smiling at me, you know? Look at that. Like Amityville Horror.
Yes.
You know, when you saw a picture of that Amityville Horror house, you go, and oh, those, that.
Those windows look like eyes.
Those windows look like eyes. And it was like, that one's scowling at you, like, you know, when you, I would not have bought that house, particularly for that reason alone, that this house looks like it's looking at me mean.
They do say that. I know, like, sometimes I'll look at carpeting patterns, and I'll see faces. I'll see a clown's face. Or, I mean, there's the obvious, you know, clouds. And there's, like you said, there are cars that look like as they're coming towards you.
Right.
They're smiling.
They're smiling. Hello, car.
They're smiling. Frowning.
They're winking at
me. But we are trained to see faces.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Now, I don't know what that point was, but.
But we were talking about the top 50 comedians of all time.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone came out with it. And do you remember who number one was? Mm-hmm. Was it George Carlin?
No, he was number
Richard
two.
Pryor.
Richard Pryor,
number one comedian of all time. George Carlin.
Yes.
Yeah, stand up. Who else? Lenny Bruce.
Right.
Bill Cosby.
He was in there. I don't know where. It's so funny because everybody, he was in there for sure. But they always have a footnote with Bill Cosby now because everybody admits that his stand up was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he did it was genius.
What's the footnote?
Well, the footnote is he was a rapist.
oh, that little thing. Oh.
And so you have a hard time going, you know, dude, I hear, but, you know. And then you go, did somebody know and, like, didn't say, hey, this is going to come back and haunt you?
Yeah.
I do. It is interesting because I look at him and he's in his 80s. And when does come out? Like 2-3 years ago?
Oh, I think it's been out a lot longer than that. But
okay.
The rumors have been out there a lot longer than that.
Right, but didn't stick until that one comedian talked about it. Yeah. And but what was interesting about it is that I remember Adam Carolla saying, you know, you kind of feel sorry for him just a little bit because he just didn't die early enough. You know?
Right.
If he just would have died. Died like 75, 70. He would have just
bypassed all that.
Yeah, he would have died a genius with not so much a tarnished reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to have him and one man, you know, this comedic genius who was Mr. Huxtable, Dr. Huxtable, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that his name? Huxtable.
Yes.
And Cliff. And then go, oh, yeah, he was drugging women. Like, does not compute.
That's right. How can a stand-up comedian do that?
Well, more like, how can Cliff Huxtable do that? You just go, oh, okay. So, yeah, you feel, but he was in there. Mm-hmm. He was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, there was a name from the past, and I can't remember his name now.
Okay.
But if I tell you, I'll give you some ideas who he did. His skit was about, like, two-minute jokes, just continual two-minute jokes. And he came across very depressed and lethargic on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was probably like early 80s, mid 80s. It was like...
Stephen Wright?
Yes.
Really?
Stephen Wright.
Oh, my God.
Kind of curly hair.
To me. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, I'm like, whatever happened to him? And this one comedian, Bill Leff, listened to on WGN Radio, he was saying that, you know, he's a great comedian. I said the problem was... His jokes are just 2 minutes long. So to get a whole hour of jokes like that, you have to...
Wow.
You know.
You got to do 30 jokes.
Yeah, like, exactly. And it takes a while. I mean, it took him like 5 years to get a good hour done, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody saw it. And you're like, oh.
And then what?
Then what? I got to come up with another hour? You know, you forget how hard it is for these comedians to come up with a good hour of skit.
Stand up,
But once you do... yeah, you can do it for a while,
right? And then, yeah. Well, there's so many different kinds of comedians, and Norm and I were watching Jim Gaffigan on HBO or Showtime.
I think it was Netflix.
Oh, was it on Netflix? Yeah. Oh, okay, and it was from 2014 or 2013. But I had never really seen him before,
right?
And I really enjoyed his comedy. He really is not blue. You know, he doesn't curse.
Right.
And so you felt, you know, it wasn't any shock value. But I think it built for me because I was watching him and I was kind of, just kind of chuckling. But then by about 25, 30 minutes, I was actually laughing out loud.
It took long. I could hear you in the other
really,
room.
Yeah, and I go, I'm really enjoying him. But it took me a while to get into the groove, to get his humor.
Yeah.
And then I saw... This must have been my weekend for stand up. This black comedian, Jared, can't remember his name, McMichael or my own, I don't remember, but it was
Carmichael. I thought it began with a C, but I can't remember. But he was funny.
Well,
in an interesting way.
I'll tell you what, he was different.
Yeah,
and this one was an older one as well. But his thing really is to take any taboo.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like.
Right.
I mean, he talked about rape. He talked about slavery.
Yeah.
He talked about being black in America.
Difference in rate. Difference in
talked about pedophilia.
Pay.
Yeah.
Pay equality.
Exactly. I mean, but it was every American taboo.
Yeah.
And he had a weird spin on it all.
Exactly.
So it's not like. You could come to expect it. You didn't come to expect it.
You didn't know where his perspective was going to come from at the end.
And I appreciated that because I've been watching that, you know, the history of comedy on CNN. And so I've been appreciating different people's styles and things like that. And so I'm like, okay, this is a very interesting, and it was directed by Spike Lee, by the way. So. You know, there was a lot of it was pretty done well, you know, and yet after it was all over, I felt bad.
Oh, did you?
I did not, and I could not.
Oh, interesting.
I could not place the reason why.
Huh.
I just had like an energy veil just come over me that just was a little depressed. And I didn't feel guilty about chuckling or anything like that.
Right.
But there was just, I guess, an energy that came over me that I just go, I don't know if I want to see him again.
I understand what you're saying because, like you said, he had tackled at this, I think it was like his fourth one or something like that is, or it was 1944.
Ooh, whoa.
2014.
That's a blast from the past.
I'm curious what happened in 1944 because.
Howdy, ho.
But it was in 2014 that this happened. And it's because he tackled every taboo from a different perspective, it was like he kept you on this roller coaster ride. And he would acknowledge the fact that this is taboo. And then he goes, but what about this? You know, like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just, they weren't like big laughs.
No,
you know?
Like he said, like, okay, so let's say you're getting raped.
Yes.
You're a woman.
He goes, now
and
listen,
you're getting
I'm
raped.
Not. I'm not making fun of. I'm not having a rape joke. Trust me, this is not a rape joke. I just have a question for you. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, because back in the time, this was, you know, people were like, you can't have rape jokes. You can't. This is not funny.
Well,
you know,
there was nothing politically correct about any of his stuff.
No, and yet nothing was politically wrong either. You know, I mean, it was just he was just bringing up these topics, and he said, if you're being raped and you see a shooting star, I'm just asking you, do you wish upon that shooting star for this rape to be over? Even though it's going to be over in about 2 minutes anyway.
Did you get one wish with a shooting star?
Get one wish, or do you wish for $1 million, like which we always do? And I thought, oh, interesting.
But that's how he looked at it.
That's how he was the entire time.
Yes, exactly. Know? Like he talked about the pedophilia in terms of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, because imagine you're one of those kids in Neverland or whatever.
Right.
And, and he goes, you know, and you go back to school on Monday morning. You go, hey, what did you do this weekend? You know, oh, I play with my Xbox all right. weekend. Well, what'd you do? And, you know.
I was blessed by Michael Jackson on the weekend.
like say, it'd be different. He goes, come on, you got to admit. He goes, you know, being molested by Michael Jackson as opposed to, like, Lenny the taxi driver.
Yeah, completely different.
Totally different. And you know, the audience was even
like going
a little bit afraid of
reacting in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think in some ways, America as a whole, I mean, we talk about political correctness getting stronger and stronger in the United States, or, you know, and you feel it's an extreme, like you can't say anything, but you can still say blonde jokes. You can still do blonde jokes. Like, blonde jokes are still on the table, you know? You know, I don't know why, because I'm offended by those. They hurt my feelings, but they're still okay to talk about. but you know, I just don't know. But I can see why you just didn't feel.
I didn't
happy.
Yeah, I just, and I was surprised by that because right. I was like, okay, I have an open mind.
Yeah,
and I'm hearing this, and I can see that there is a value in doing shock comedy,
right?
Or taboo comedy, right. and right. you know, to the proper audience, and yet I had to, and it just made me a little sick.
Well, I do want to talk about future self stuff, but maybe we'll talk about that at the end. Why don't we go into a little bit of movie talk, because this would be a perfect time to play our little movie theme.
Alrighty.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
Okay, so here we are doing our reviews of kind of older movies. But it brings up the point that you saw Jared, I think his name is Carmichael. Or okay. I think. But JC for short. No. But we had seen it after watching
Reacher.
Jack Reacher. And Never Go Back. You were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I was exactly. Because I remember the first movie and with just sort of ho-hum.
Yeah.
I didn't really, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We like seeing it because we feel like your son, my brother, looks like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
So I always go, there's my brother running again. Look at my brother go.
Jack Reacher and Tom Cruise was beefy in this movie.
He was a little beefy.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Not fat.
No.
But it made to look like this big, kind of like the Matt Damon look. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Because, okay, in his character in Jack Reacher, is so not funny. I mean,
right.
In all the Mission Impossible movies, he's got a little bit of a, you know, like, doesn't take himself too, like, you know, just a little bit of a
sense of humor.
A sense of humor, slightly. Mm-hmm. He's so dry in this character. And, you know, there's not much to like about him because he gets a job done.
Right.
I can't say he has a heart of gold, but he gets a job done.
We don't know if he has a heart.
I don't know if he has a heart. But the first thing I said about this movie, I thought it was 2.5 stars. You thought it was more than that.
Yeah, I actually liked it. Yeah.
I just thought there was a ton of running by everybody.
Yes.
And
this was the running movie.
This was the running movie. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so funny because he's just so known for his running. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's run more than all the Sylvester Stallone training scenes of him running. You know, he just ran. I mean, if you clocked it, he must have ran 10 minutes in this movie.
Oh, I don't know. Definitely.
He just continually ran.
I remember he was doing on a Graham Norton show that he and the girl that the co-star, she's from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, the dark-haired girl.
And she was saying, I just had to train so hard to run in this movie.
Oh, she ran a lot. She tried to keep up with him, and she did.
Yeah.
She kept up with him. I'm like, you go, girl. I was like, I mean, I was impressed, man. And so, yeah, I think it's really worth watching, especially on a you know, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Just have a little fun.
Like I said, I enjoyed it because I really I really had no expectations because of the first one.
Right.
Which I just, like I said, ho-hum.
Right.
But I went, my God, this was actually good. I like this.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And then we tried on Friday a little bit. we've have Netflix. We've been trying to quote unquote be a part of the binge world.
We've been binging for 3 weekends now.
Yes. First it was Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Awesome. I thought it was a good binge.
Wonderful.
The second one was
Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore.
I only got through 3 or 4 episodes because I had some stuff to do, but you binged the whole thing.
Right.
And
good. I liked it.
Liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
Third one was...
What was the third one? Oh, The OA.
Oh, The OA. I liked it more than you liked it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And I liked it.
I thought it was awesome. And note to directors, as long as it has a great ending, a satisfying ending, you got me. I'll give it 4 Sherpa hats.
Right.
And I thought it was a satisfying ending. You thought it was laughable.
I thought it was laughable until I got it.
Until you got it. Okay.
And then,
got
do
it.
You remember I told you I got it?
Yes.
And then you go, oh, I've got goosebumps.
Yes. Because Normano got it before we got it.
Yes.
That was crazy. And then we started...
Black Mirror.
Yes. And...
Because we'd heard it was good.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's daughter was in
was
it.
Was an episode.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is there's only like 3 episodes per season. And the first...
It is nice because this is a shitty...
Oh, I can't. I've heard people say that this is a scary and amazing, and I found it deplorable. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's a good word.
Because I found it.
I did too, Julie.
I didn't like anything about it, and I think we didn't even get through 2 episodes because the first one
was so horrible,
and the second and the then we went and kind of skimmed it, and I go, oh, there's the Howard girl. You know, I want to watch that one.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, this is horrible.
Boring.
It's, would you say boring?
Yeah.
Well, boring and just depressing.
Yeah.
And so therefore done.
Yeah. And who needs that?
I'm not.
So Black Mirror, no.
And as I'm talking about this, part of my brain's going, you've got so much crap to do. How dare you binge watch anything? You little girl, you are so foolish. What's wrong with you?
And you didn't this week.
I didn't. I didn't last week either. I mean, like, I've had to really figure out when to get these in because we haven't been doing the same time because I just...
Right.
It's been like, oh, I'm up at 2 in the morning.
But with the reason,
I'll watch an episode.
I mean, everybody talks about binge watching.
Yeah.
You have to be binge watching. What's binge worthy, you know?
Yeah.
And so, well, you know, the girlfriends have to be part of that, right? We got to try it.
Right.
And I think we're done.
Yeah. I mean, they recommended Lemony Snickets or whatever that story is called.
Oh, yeah. Lemony
Snickers.
Yeah.
Snickers. Yeah. Snickers. Woo.
No, Snickets, I think.
Snickets, yeah. It is. And so we might try that, maybe. I don't know. But I did. When it was funny, but once you have an unsuccessful binge time.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember when I was younger,
like,
I used to love...
How dare you take my time up?
Yeah. Okay. I used to love mushrooms. And then I had a bad mushroom, you know? And then ever since then, I can't eat mushrooms.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like I've had a bad binge trip.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know if I ever want to binge again.
You can't. You got bad shrooms, Julie.
Yeah, I had bad shrooms. And then I was like... I've got a taste of bad, you know, shrooms in my mouth, and then that's just not fun. So I've got a bad binge in my mouth.
Yeah,
and so I don't know.
I do too. I'm like pissed.
Yeah. So I don't know why it was known to be such a good show, though.
Mm-mm.
And can I talk about the first episode? I mean, if you haven't seen it
by
now,
I guess you can.
Just really quick.
It was so bad.
It's British. Because that's supposed to be a little more artistic. I mean,
I guess
I cut him a little more slack for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But episode 1, season 1 of Black Mirror, the Prime Minister, the princess is taken. Now they're not really the, you know, they're not a princess is taken,
kidnapped,
and the demand is the Prime Minister has to have carnal relations with a pig live on TV, or they're going to kill the princess.
Yes.
And he ends up doing it. But my mom said, you were right. I said, well, he's going to have to do it. And he's like, why does he have to do it? Because you don't negotiate. Yeah. Because if you negotiate for this, they're going to up the ante.
Right.
You don't negotiate.
Right.
No matter how stupid or how small or insignificant.
Right.
Because my feeling was all it would be just a huge embarrassment.
Right.
And the whole plot is that, because if you haven't seen it by now, I'm sorry, we're going to do a spoiler alert now.
Because really, don't see it.
Yeah, I'm telling you not to see it.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, what? What am I? I go, no, no.
Like Norm said, there is no redeeming character in the entire in the entire show,
no,
except for the pig.
Yeah,
you feel, you and then feel, you feel sorry for the pig.
Yeah, and oh my god,
what?
So it's just so weird that it's just so weird. It's just so weird. So anyway, because they get the room ready for him, so they put human pictures up. So because he has to finish, that's part of the rules. Yeah, it's just so crazy.
It's crazy.
But the end result is, it was all an artistic, performance.
It was art.
And the man who did it kills himself right afterwards because he didn't, because it was a statement saying we're all involved in seeing the grossness of life, and 1.5 billion people watch this live. Mm-hmm. And he let the princess go before it even happened.
Yeah.
But because no one was in the streets, because everybody was
watching
mm-hmm. they didn't find her. I mean, she was let go right in the middle of downtown, but at the
London.
Streets, London, but no one was there to see her. So he had to go through with it.
Yeah.
And, and it was just like, really? And then a year later, his polling rates are still a little higher than usual,
Mm-hmm.
He's not experiencing diminishing returns yet on this act.
Mm-hmm.
Which Mom and I have been talking about all week long. What does diminishing returns mean?
We'll talk about that later.
And
but
so,
The only person that was sympathetic was the pig.
Yes. So
they had to actually drug the pig.
Yeah, so he'd be a little more docile.
Yeah.
And they
had to drug the prime minister, too.
I think they gave him, in both ways.
They gave him Viagra.
Yeah. I think I'd want Viagra and possibly a hallucinogenic. I don't know. I don't know. Or I'd want someone to continue to hypnotize me. Like, it's hypnotizing. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, now when you see this pig, you're going to go, wow, Christy Brinkley. I can't make this funny.
You can't.
I try to make it funny, guys.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Do not waste your time. You've got the whole subject.
I'm actually having like a little throw up in my mouth right now thinking about this episode.
And so then we tried to watch a second one and there was nothing.
I just said, Julie, I can't do it.
I said too. I said, I'm going to get to work. There's no reason to throw anything else out there.
No.
Bye.
No.
So boom. So Black Mirror, I don't know. Please let me know what the best episode is because finding it horrible.
Right.
And I have no other thing to binge watch. It's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad.
Or happy. Get my life back.
I think we're taking back our time.
Yeah. Taking back our time. Taking back our life.
Yes.
Yay.
Taking back
Woo-hoo!
Our time. Taking back our life.
So, girlfriend, you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Sure.
I once had a dog. Oh, should I say he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. All right. Here we are, Elliot's Corner. Okay. This is, we're going to talk about your future self dreams and how to get there. But with Elliot's Corner, I kind of have this future self desire that I need to talk about with my dog.
Okay.
So we have been for the last 6 months to a year really thinking about this coming winter. How do we travel? How do we go to San Diego and take the winter there?
Mm-hmm.
Or travel? We don't know. We want to take a cruise in November, but how do we do it when, quote unquote, we have a dog?
And Elliot.
Not quote unquote, we have a dog.
Yeah. and it's an Elliot dog.
It's an Elliot dog. And I think with the cruise, we could probably board him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about going and traveling or being gone for a month,
mm-hmm.
well, how do you board a dog for a month? It just seems almost kind of cruel.
Right.
I would like him to come with you.
Yeah,
you want him to come with you.
Right.
And so our neighbor behind us, they were gone, and they had someone living in their house.
Yeah, they had a house sitter.
They had a house sitter taking care of their dog. And
mm-hmm.
it was kind of sad because I met her, and she's like, oh, I'm taking the dog for a walk right now because he seems so sad because his parents aren't around.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, he's sad. I don't want Elliot to be sad if we go away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem with our dog, Elliot. We had seen this pretty awesome looking RV park and on the ocean in Chula Vista, which is south of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about $1,000 a month to rent a good spot near the ocean.
That's a little more now.
Yeah, about $1,500 was it? Something mm-hmm. like that. But anyway, and then you had to buy your RV. So that's upsy ante. However, initially, like, this is a great idea. You can bring your dog and all that stuff. They actually have dog showers when they come out of the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just really fun. And then you go, oh, wait a minute. My dog chases everything. He barks at every car. I mean, when he plays at the playground with dogs, he's totally fine because he's free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of fun and nice. But if he sees a car, he'll go after the car.
Yeah.
Even on a chain, if he sees somebody walking and he's on his chain, he'll bark relentlessly. And you go, oh, my God. I have a horrible dog to travel with. Mm-hmm. I need to.
Imagine being stuck in a park.
Yeah.
With campers all around you, and this dog just continually barking.
Right.
Because he sees
people. I mean, we live out in the country for the most part. I say neighbors, but if you look around us, we don't see neighbors.
No.
You know. So, I don't. You know, we get breaks, but in a camper, I don't know how it's possible.
No.
I really do not. And so my future self for my family, and we talked about like, hey, you and dad going, you know.
Yeah.
And then not that we're all joined to the hip, but we kind of like each other.
A little bit.
So we're like, maybe we'll all go. Take the dog with us, you know. How do we do this? And maybe you can hear him barking right now. If you can.
Yeah.
I'm sure he saw a squirrel.
Yeah. He's at the back window. He'll see a squirrel.
Our dog. Yeah.
That just torments him.
Yeah. Those squirrels know too, man.
They know. Like,
and so my future self says, okay, well, you got like 8 months here before winter. I mean, yes, it's 65 degrees in February. Woohoo! Woohoo!
What's wrong with that picture?
Well, nothing, because in Chula Vista, it's 65 degrees a day.
That's right. We might as well be in San Diego.
Yeah. And so without the crowd or in a big house. So it's just this idea like, okay, how do we relate to this? How do we deal with this? And so we decided today our trainer's going to come to our house.
Come to our house.
And help us train him a little bit and see how do we break him of these habits.
How do we train the untrainable?
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, I don't want to put out there my intention is that he's untrainable, you know.
I know. I'm just depressed about it.
Yeah, now, because the depression is we've broke every rule from day one with his dog.
Did we?
Yes, we did. Not intentionally.
Well,
not
I
intentionally.
Know. I know.
Like the first rule he did was we gave him a little baby, what do we call it?
A playpen.
A playpen for him to stay in.
Yeah.
Too much space. Too much space for a little puppy. You know, we should have put him in a crate. And I'm like, oh, man. And then second of all, we felt like, well, how can a little doggy be happy in a little tiny crate?
Give him a little playpen.
Yeah, playpen, much better. You know, and our breeder said, whatever, do not feed him scraps or you'll have a
beggar.
And then the first thing that you did, you're like, he won't love me if I won't give him any food, which was kind of true.
He would just kind of look at me. He'd put his paw on me and just look at me with those big brown eyes as I'm eating.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God.
So cute.
I made him a beggar.
Yeah, he made him a beggar. We all made him a beggar. And he's just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And so I can handle the begging part, but I can't handle the barking part.
No.
And I don't know. She may suggest getting a electrical collar.
We do have one, but we just refuse to
put it on.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because we used to have a barker with our other previous dog, Charlie Ray, the Border Collie. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take him long to figure it out. But he looked so sad once, you know, he got shocked that first time.
Yeah. He was like, what are you guys doing to me?
What's this? What? And then he just stopped. I thought his personality left.
Yeah.
And I was like,
why do we want to soul murder these?
I don't either. I don't want to break his spirit.
I know.
But this dog,
we probably are not the proper dog owners then, you know, that we wanted to be like footloose and fancy free.
Right.
We're soul murdering this dog.
We give them way too many human characteristics.
We do.
And so then it's just heartbreaking to, you know. And so,
can I tell you something real cute though? Elliot was taking a nap the other day on the floor, you know, next to us, and he was having a puppy dream.
Aww.
And usually they're kind of like they're like running or something in place, but his tail was just wagging.
Aww.
So I just was imagining.
Oh, like, his tail was wagging during his puppy dream.
Yeah. Can you imagine what you know? Maybe he's like. People or more doggies or, you know.
Well, it's funny
because Katie Lou, his girlfriend.
Oh, his little Katie Lou girlfriend. He's got a couple girlfriends.
Yeah.
He played so much with Toph yesterday, like just continually for 2 hours, just played and played and played. And it was so darling. She's a little Chihuahua Dachshund mix, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's just in it with him.
Yeah.
Like, she's not afraid of
and
him.
And she's younger than him. And she's littler than him.
And she's just all over him continuously. Yeah. To the point where he just gives up and, like, is laying on the floor with his mouth open, like,
I think it's so funny because Toph is, she grew up with big dogs. And even though she's little, she grew up with big dogs, and so she thinks she's got a big dog personality.
Yeah, big dog personality.
Yeah, and she doesn't take any crap from
Elliot. No, not at all.
And it's kind of cute to see.
Well, so here's the deal. I think we all have these dreams and desires that we want to do, but they really are for our future self or the better self, the higher self.
Yes.
And we know we want to be these, and or we have to negotiate them in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be that we have to have a house sitter. Mm-hmm. That comes in and, you know, it takes care of Elliot for a month or two, you know. I don't know. But right now, I believe in my heart that we have enough time to get him trained so that he can be a good driver in the car,
you know. Oh, my God.
I mean, he is created in the car, which is appropriate. But when he's not created, he literally is just running around the van.
Oh, my God.
And like, hystericals.
I know. You and I went to the river this week.
Yeah.
And I decided to go to this one part of the river where it's very, you know, no people or anything, because we wanted to leave him out of his crate.
Right.
So that, you know, you and I were having a meeting. And,
right.
And we thought he could, you know, just look out and stuff. But there were, because of the nice weather, there were fishermen on the river. And he just went insane.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys.
And you know, I think you were shocked.
I wasn't shocked.
You weren't shocked?
No.
I mean, I've seen him be this crazy and insane in the car.
No, I was prepared because that's why I had the chain on him and all that stuff. So if I had to pull him, I could pull him.
Yeah.
No, I'm not unexpected. That was not unexpected.
Mm.
But it was disappointing, to say the least, because it cracks through my dreams of being able to take him places.
Yeah.
And he is a sweet dog. And your intention for a dog was pretty simple this time.
Yes.
You said you wanted a dog that didn't shed, and you wanted a dog, and mostly because when we would watch Bear, he was such a shedder.
Oh, my God.
That it was like, the last thing I want, and he was a St. Bernard, he would leave us with just a hair coat.
Not just the hair coat. But the slobber coat.
The slobber coat.
Yeah.
Elliot has a beard, so he drives water everywhere.
Yeah.
So he doesn't drool, but he has that water everywhere in the house. So you want a non-shedding dog, you want a sweet dog, and you want a dog that would sleep on his back with his feet up in the air.
I know. I don't know why. I just think that's so darling. I want to just...
And he does. You got exactly everything you wanted.
I know.
You just should have been more specific on the other stuff.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Exactly. You may get it.
But he's only 2 years old, and I'm going to profess right now and intend that I can be a better dog handler, and he can be a better dog.
Right.
Because I want to bring him on trips. You know, whatever
that... Wouldn't it be lovely?
It would be lovely.
Yeah.
It would be lovely.
Because he's so cute, and people want to pet him.
Yeah.
And he enjoys that.
Oh, yeah.
That contact. But then when they walk away...
He will bark at him.
He'll bark like, what are you leaving me for?
It's crazy.
Look at how cute I am. Are you leaving me?
Yeah. And so... and I've given up. And so in some ways, I've not made him... come up to be his higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone down to meet him where he's at, and I don't want to do that anymore.
And that's why the trainer's coming.
That's
over
why the trainer's coming, like, because I'm hoping within the next 8 months, 8 to 10 months, we will have this behavior nipped. But I know it's going to require me to be on the effing ball.
Yeah,
and that means not letting him get away with anything, which is a pain
that's
in the
crazy.
Butt.
Yeah,
because you're working on something, you're doing something, and all of a sudden he'll have an episode,
right.
And you're like, I gotta stop what I'm doing right now and deal with this.
Right.
And you're like, ah,
and so, like, you know, He's in terms of just bathroom etiquette, you know, going to business outside, he's pretty much 50% good at that.
Yeah.
And then the other 50%, we're happy that he goes into the bathroom.
Right.
And does it.
Because it'll be like...
At least it's the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because he's crushed our soul.
I know. And I feel humiliated talking about this.
Oh, do you?
Kind of. Embarrassed.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I don't. I'm sure that everybody has a piece of their life that if it was analyzed, you're going, I'm a little embarrassed about this.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Like I said, we didn't have a small enough crate for him. I mean, we took, I remember taking him, he was being boarded for 3 or 4 days at, and when he was younger, like 8 months old, mm-hmm. at
Mastosos?
No, not Mastosos, our vet. They
oh, yeah, that's right.
And, you know, afterwards, they had this discussion, like, you're going to have to work with him, because we would be out with him for 10 minutes, and he wouldn't go to the bathroom, and the moment he comes into the house
yeah.
or into his crate, he would pee.
That's Elliot.
And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I know. It's so frustrating.
And no, it's not frustrating. You're going to have to work with him.
You're going to work with him on that. I'm like, but we do.
We do.
Until we don't. We do until we don't. You know, you're like, oh, I'll take that as a win. But you're right. He's like I would say more like 80% of the time he's good.
Yeah.
Until he's not.
Until he's not.
You know, he chooses that. He, in his mind, I believe he says, there's no reason for me to wait. I can go in the bathroom, wherever else going.
Everybody else goes there.
Yeah. Why can't I go in there? And they always take the rug and then they wash it. Yeah. So what the heck? Yeah.
He's got his little favorite rug.
Yeah.
And I think because it's green.
Yes.
I think it looks like, you know, grass to him.
Yeah. And there's a part of me that says, well, you know.
There's a part that says.
I'm grateful.
Good boy.
Good dog. Good boy.
You know. It's not on the hardwood floor.
Literally, he will go every 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there are times I take him, I'm like, I'm breaking this habit of him. We're going to go every 2 hours. Hour 55 minutes, he's in the bathroom, you know. I'm like, yeah. Where'd he go? I'm like, oh.
And you're still putting your shoes on.
Like, oh, man, son of a gun. So, I don't know. I'm going to get better. I'm going to be better. And then I'll do better.
So then you can have a better dog.
I can have a better dog. You ready for a little pillow talk?
Yes. I can't believe we're actually getting around to pillow talk.
I know. I can't believe it either.
Thank you, Doris.
Pillow talk. Mom, when we were getting the song for this, she was so sure of herself that there was a song called Pillow Talk. And so I YouTubed it, and
Zane
came up. I'm like, we're not playing this song. It was like
Mom and Zane?
Yeah.
Well,
not
just
that. It was a very sexual song.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't get that vibe from our show.
Yeah.
But pillow talk, do-do-do-do.
That was the one I was referring to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're the yeah-yeah girls. I'm a yeah-yeah girl. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. You know, the music has to match with us in some sense. And so here we are talking about our future selves, our higher selves. And I think we talked about this last week. Maybe we didn't, or we wrote it down. You know, your higher self wants to hire yourself.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't talk about that, but I wrote that in my blog.
Yeah, you wrote that in your blog. I thought that was a fascinating concept because in so many ways, our higher self goes, hey, I know you can do this.
Right.
I know you can be better. And either it's your higher self, your future self, or it's your past self hiring you. Mm-hmm. And do you want your past self to hire you?
That's right.
I'm thinking your past self, you know, still working on crap, you know, and so forth. Or, you know, there's parts of your past that are pretty awesome. And other parts, you're like, oh, I really missed the mark on that. And your higher self, your future self saying, hey, you can be this person. You're not that far. You can make slight adjustments. You can tweak your way there.
Yeah, I mean, you want someone on your side that really sees the possibility and potential in you. And that is your higher self.
Yes.
And if you've lowered your expectations and you, again, do your past self, like, you know, that one's like, why get out of bed? Why wash your face even?
Right, exactly.
Brush your teeth, come on.
What the heck?
You're just
going to
be eating snowballs anyway.
Exactly. The end result is you know.
Sometimes, though, you just got to have a snowball.
Exactly. What does that mean?
A Hostess snowball?
Oh.
You don't even know. Maybe they don't make them anymore.
They have coconut on them, and I hate coconut.
Oh, when I was a little kid, man, that was like. That would give me puppy dreams. That would make my tail wag.
I remember, I mean, iconically, they're an iconic sweet because, if I'm not mistaken, you could take the cake out of it.
Yes.
And then you would just have this white
marshmallow
furry thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is really fun. You get this chocolate ball in one hand and a furry white thing on the other.
Not just chocolate ball, but cream inside the chocolate ball.
Oh, there's cream inside the chocolate ball, too?
You're going to have to get it straight, girlfriend.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And so that's your iconic, you know, past self, like, go-to thing.
Yes.
Awesome.
My past self is just a snowball eater.
Why not?
My higher self. It's like, what do you want that for? Let's have something nutritious.
Yes, exactly. Have a green drink.
Have a green drink.
Yeah, you're gonna. You can really taste that sweetness out of that kale. You can do it, girlfriend. You can do it.
Kale chips.
Exactly. And so, you know, so that's kind of what we've been talking about. You can be, do, have. And, you know, it's always asking yourself, well, who do I need to be to do this? You know, we coach people and who are, you know, maybe wanting a business that's different than what they're doing, mm-hmm. an upgraded life. They may be working on their bodies. And we're writing out, you know, the plan, you know, from the goal, the SMART goal, the milestones that you want to hit. And it always comes down to, because you want these to be lasting changes. This is not just a, when you're upgrading your lifestyle, mm-hmm. it's not like you're going to have this change, boom, done, next, it's yours, and then you can go back to being who you were before. Mm-hmm. It's not like that anymore. Mm-mm. You really are being asked and called to be a different person.
And to maintain that.
And maintain it.
I mean, that's why they say, like, people who don't, I mean, even winning the lottery in 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
Are back to,
right,
you know,
doing, you know, and maybe yeah. they've changed a little bit, but I mean,
there's always a picture of the Rolls Royce, you know, on blocks in the front yard,
right,
you know?
Right. You're like, uh-oh, what happened here? Well, because you've upgraded your life, but didn't have a plan how to maintain it.
That's right.
It is always about the maintaining of the growth.
Yes.
How do you maintain this growth?
How do you then sustain you're like up it and maintain
get,
it?
Sustain it and maintain it.
Right.
Get there, sustain, maintain. It's so funny. You were watching, you told me this, you were watching The Outdoors, and the it's all about millennials. And they said there's a line in there that says
if you're not a millionaire, if you're not rich
by 40,
by the time you're 40, you're pretty much worthless.
Yeah, know? Which
because I am you know me, I am fascinated by millennials.
Right,
I don't understand it. I'm truly trying my hardest to develop a place in my brain that understands them.
Well, know this, that it's not all the millennials. It's just. It's a trend, right? I mean, still there are millennials that are driving, even though the trend is they don't want to drive as much. Mm-hmm. But there are people who still drive, you know. We think of them as not having jobs, but a lot of them have jobs.
but we think of them as having, like, a bunch of ways to earn, you know, a dollar a day.
Right. Well, that's the thing. There's some people who have that. I mean, all the millennials I know, they don't do that. But there's this pocket, you know, they have quote unquote normal 9-to-5 jobs, you know. But the millennials that we see elsewhere, they're really creative with their life. They're, you know, like you said, they have a million ways of making a buck. You know, they have their YouTube channel, they have their Pinterest stuff, they have, you know, their Twitter feed, and they're monetizing it all.
And they have a blog.
And they're creating an app on the
side. I've had a blog for 6 years. I do not know how to monetize it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not know how to monetize
his blog, you know. And so you go to the place, you're going, ugh, it just feels exhausting. And then I heard on Tim Ferriss' show, this guy called Mr. Money Mustache. Mm-hmm. And he was a very interesting character. He's 41. Mm-hmm. And he's quote-unquote retired. He's not retired. Because I think in my mind, retirement means you're not working anymore. Or you don't have to work anymore. Mm-hmm. But he works.
He retired at 30, didn't he?
He retired at 30, mm-hmm. not at 40. And he was good with money in the sense of this. Him and his wife knew that you only had to have 26 times the amount that you need to live on annually. And he only needs $27,000 a year to live on annually. That's what he needs. Mm-hmm. So I think it ended up, they only need about $700,000 in a Vanguard account mm-hmm. to sustain that. And for the, you know, him and his wife initially worked at a tech company, and together, they in 10 years, they had about $700,000 in their mm-hmm. thing. And they realized, well, we don't have to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. We can do whatever we want. And they call themselves retired. And, you know, initially you're going, wow, that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. 25 grand a year, I don't know how you live on that. You know, I really don't. Mm-hmm. How do you live on 25 grand a year?
And in Boulder or someplace in Colorado.
Someplace in Colorado.
Yeah. And but you got to give it to him, though, because he's got it down to a real art farm.
Well, and he said if you don't have $1 million in a Vanguard account, you should not have a car that's over 5 grand. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, dude. I mean, we don't have expensive cars, but we live in the country. You need to have a reliable car. Mm-hmm. And I can see buying a $500 car every year, maybe. I don't know. but you know, they had probably one car. You know, they bike a lot because they live in town. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where they live, but they live in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they said that as long as your house is paid for.
And they built their own house.
They built their own house. Yeah. And so they're pretty much, they set themselves up. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of interesting because he talks about retiring. And then in the next breath, he said, oh, but the next thing I did was I started my own construction company where I was building eco-friendly homes. Mm-hmm. And in 2006, right before the crash, I sold my good eco-friendly home right off the bat for a good profit. And then the second one, I couldn't give it away. I mean, I couldn't sell it for a reasonable amount of money because the crash had just happened. Mm-hmm. And he said, I lost a lot of money from my Vanguard account. And I realized, like, well, I was spending a lot of hours marketing it and doing this and doing this. And he goes, this is not the point of me being retired, you know. But he talks about this idea that, you know, in his mind, his future self was someone that had enough money in the bank to sustain him, not to thrive, but to sustain. Mm-hmm. And his hobbies
would
bring in his money.
Yes.
And he goes, it's easy to make money. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. It's easy to make money. Well, and that's what his belief was. Mm-hmm. Even though in his examples, it was easy to make money and it was easy to lose money.
Right.
You know,
right.
But he's focusing on the win. Mm-hmm. And now after years of doing his blog mm-hmm. on money.
He considers himself, I heard you say this, or that he's a cult leader.
Yes.
He considers himself to have this cult.
Yes.
Underneath him, that people that are just rabidly follow him.
And then he goes, because a cult leader has to have a leader that preaches, does what he preaches.
That's what he is.
That's what he does. And so he goes, even though I have more money now, I'm so programmed to know the cost of everything, mm-hmm. even the environmental cost of mm-hmm. everything. So there's just things I don't want, mm-hmm. you know.
I find that very attractive.
Yeah,
to know the cost of everything, even including the environmental,
the social, socioeconomic impact right. of a certain
right.
on a certain community that this thing did.
Well,
you know?
Like yesterday, I thought it was fascinating when we went to the accountant. And doing our taxes, and I've bought land here in around, and haven't been able to do anything with it.
Right.
And I still have to pay taxes, have to pay the water bills on
right.
it, and things like that. And he said, all you have to do is grow some veggies or some
yep.
something on it, and then sell it.
Sell it at the farmer's market.
And you can take all of that off. And I'm like, illuminating.
Hello. We want to do that.
Go out and buy some seeds, Julie.
Yes, let's do that. And since it's February, we can literally do that. And so we could be the organic farmer this
right.
year. I don't know how our first crop's going to go because we're pretty new at it. I mean, I did have like 3 years ago.
We did a tomato
at the community
thing.
At the community place. I did yeah. a couple tomatoes. Broccoli, some potatoes. You know, you realize, I think it was like a 5x4 plot. It was not very big. I'm like,
it was a hassle.
It was.
we had to schlep out there, water it.
Exactly.
grow tomatoes.
But those tomatoes are good though, aren't they?
Everybody's that was out there, I think they kind of died too, because at the very end, the guy that kind of watches it, he goes,
Everybody.
Take all the tomatoes you want.
Oh, my gosh. There were tomatoes and like the one vegetable, the zucchinis, and the eggplants.
Yes.
Were so beautiful looking.
Yes.
And I've not been a big eggplant eater. I just wasn't in our family.
Right.
I don't know why.
Right.
But, be kind of interesting. So it is about deciding what your goals are. Like, oh, plusing every aspect of your life, so
yes.
it brings in money. So it's
yes.
a plus, not a negative.
I love those things because it's like being a real true householder.
Yeah, exactly.
That it's one thing if you've got enough money and you just like, whatever, I don't
right.
care.
Yeah.
But most of us, you know, take pleasure
right.
in understanding the money and
yeah.
watching this and doing that and
yeah.
hey, this works, and understanding the
yes.
the cost benefit ratio and all that stuff. I'm digging Mr. Money Mustache.
Yes. And I find it just fascinating. I find it just like, okay, looking at this. But I like hearing people's beliefs on money, because you hear something and going, oh, wow, I wonder if he really believes that. Like, he just clearly stated it's easy to make money. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily, I want to believe that. I don't know if I totally believe that. That it's just always easy to make money.
Because it's not our experience.
It hasn't been our experience. Right. Yes. And, but he doesn't leave any dollar on the table. You know, he'll sell his vegetables.
Right.
I've been times like going, oh my God, I got other things to do than make $20 selling vegetables.
But that's...
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Because that would have been the easy money.
Learning that, yeah.
Yeah. And so you go, oh, wait a minute. I should think about this a little bit more.
Yes.
And analyze my beliefs, because I want to be the person that money comes to quickly, easily. Mm-hmm. That I could be completely self-sufficient so that I don't have to have a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
That, which I don't, but that's kind of... I'm very lucky.
You work harder than that, girlfriend.
Well, I do. Well, I do what I like to do. I like to create programs. I like to create. That's why I'm becoming an instructional designer. I like doing those things.
Yes.
And I think I do a really good job.
You do. You're fabulous.
So, everyone, thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. Go to our website, Christine, Marie, and Julie. Read about the blog that Mom wrote about. Hire yourself.
That's right.
Christine, Marie, and Julie. And you can also go to consciouscommunity.com, our new website that we've been doing. And it's pretty awesome. We're working on these challenges, and I'm so close to being done. I say that all the time.
Well,
we're so close.
It's a challenge working on the challenges is what you're saying.
Yes, it's exactly right.
But
exactly.
We're offering 21-day challenges to everyone.
Yes. And
for what's our slogan? 21 days to a better you.
Better you.
Not a perfect you.
No. If we have to be perfect, then
we're screwed. Fabulous you.
Yeah.
But a better you. 21 days, you can be better.
Yeah, and it's your future self. What's your future self going to look like in 21 days?
You know what we never did get to talk about today was diminishing returns. Maybe next week.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe next week. That would be good. It's not a big concept, everyone. I mean, it's kind of a big concept.
But for us, we're like studying it real hard now.
Talking about it when we're together. All right, everyone. How did the show, girlfriend? How did you like that show?
How did I like this show? It was great.
It was great. It was great.